Now, live from Everbank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your host, Mike Dempsey, and
here's Johnny.
There he is. How about that?
Good morning, Duval.
Duval Doom gets his own introduction, man.
Nice.
Not everybody gets that, although Shadrick had one earlier today. Or this week, I should say. How you doing, man?
Good. How are you?
Doom's in the house, the unofficial, by my estimation, just in my little sphere, the unofficial leader of Jaguars Twitter. At least the guy I like the most on Jaguars Twitter.
I'm not a leader.
And so that's the way I look at it. You're not stirring the troops to rebellion or anything like that?
No. Nobody listens
to me. Not organizing any outings, any what have yous?
I mean, I'm going to Tampa with everybody else.
Well, yeah, but you're not in charge.
No. We did have I had my 40th birthday recently, and everybody came to that. That was fun.
Yeah, I didn't go.
Well, you were invited, but
I was invited. I did. I had a show that night. Your wife was nice enough to invite me.
Right.
Secretly invite me.
Right, she did. She did not tell me.
Yeah, and I said, no, I really don't like him all that much.
She did tell me that.
Yes. So
she did say, you know that guy Mike's not really
not much of a secret keeper, that bride of yours, but that's fine, man. Duval Doom's in the house. Welcome in, everybody. It's a Caldwell and Cadillac Friday. Glad you're on board, Jaguars, today. Just kicking off here at Everbank Field on this Friday morning. We made it the week without Fat Tony. We'll see if we can make it just a couple more hours. As
who?
Exactly. Danny Willett, everybody's pick to win the British Open, opening up a 3-shot lead on the field right now on Zach Johnson and Dustin Johnson. 10 under par for Danny Willett. Boy, that's going to have eyes glued to the television all weekend long, I have a feeling, to see if Danny Willett can hold that lead. But Tiger, boy, he didn't go off until late today. Here's the problem for Tiger. 4 over yesterday. He's not making the cut, right? They had a 3-hour rain delay this morning over in Scotland. So Tiger doesn't tee off until about 6 o'clock local time in Scotland. Means he ain't going to finish his round. Means he gets to stick around an extra night just to miss the cut tomorrow morning. So that'll be nice.
That's good for Tiger.
It is good for Tiger. It's character building, I believe, is how you look at
that. And Tiger doesn't have any character, so.
Oh! Wow, right out of the gates. Coming with both barrels, man. We'll talk plenty of Jaguar football with you today. If you'd like to get on board and talk to the emissary from Jaguars Twitter, Mr. Duval Doom, 641-1010 is the number. It's also the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line. If you'd like to get in via that method, and of course, we'll throw out the question of the day coming up. I haven't even posted it yet, but we got a Friday Top 5 today. I feel like I'm so behind today. I don't know if it's because I've been chatting with you, eating donuts, or I don't know, maybe it's just the gloomy weather. I thought, you know, if we ever did a show together on a regular basis, Gloom and Doom might be the best working title for that.
Right.
I'm pretty gloomy from time to time.
It's not gloomy outside. I mean, I was
driving. It was a little gloomy this morning.
Look, any time that you're driving in, you have to look at it from a fan's perspective. I came across the bridge, and the most beautiful place on earth was right there, Everbank Field. I have had a lot of coffee.
Did the clouds part? Did the sun shine?
Of course they did.
All that stuff?
They did. I could see Shad up in the sky.
You didn't hug it out with Gus today. I haven't seen Gus around.
I didn't. I thought maybe that would be later, you know.
I've seen Dave Caldwell come by just about every day this week, so I figured last time you got a little quality time with the head coach, maybe we'll get some time for you with the general.
Dave, come by.
Come by. We're right down the hall.
Dave, we're right here.
He'll be by. You watch. He's been toiling away in obscurity behind the walls here at Everbank. This is how I know you're kind of settling into your role as the unofficial spokesperson of the fans here on Jaguars Today. First time you came in, it was Tony and myself, and you brought us breakfast. Today, you just told me you thought about bringing me breakfast. Hey!
I did think about it.
Well, which I suppose is nice, but I don't know if that seems like something I would do to taunt somebody, to bring up the fact that I thought about it but actually didn't follow through.
Well, you know, there's this thing happening this year that you and I haven't really talked about that is going to put us at odds. I mean, we all know you're a Jets fan, and so you're the enemy this year.
Am I?
Right.
Really?
Right. So I taunted you with breakfast.
Who do you think I would like to see win between
game.
The Jags and the Jets?
I think it's the Jags.
Honestly.
I just like to give you a hard time.
You know, and as I said, and that's fine because I am a Jets fan, and from the sense that if the Jets ever won the Super Bowl, I'd get the T-shirt because I've toiled through decades,
exactly.
Truly
Absolutely.
Decades of following an awful team.
Of course.
Whereas with the Jags, my affiliation with the Jags has been almost from the very outset as a guy who's covered the team.
It's
wanted them to do well.
I know you love them, but
I love my, you know, if you want to call it work, fine.
I know what you mean.
You know what I mean? Yeah. I don't feel like I earn it. Like, you know, this whole generation Jaguar that's coming up, right?
Right.
The guys who are 30 years old now, the ladies that are 30 years old, that have known nothing but Jaguar football for the majority of their lives, 30 and under.
My kids.
Yes.
I mean, my kids are 16 and 12, and this is the only football team they'll ever root for, or I will make sure they pay.
I hope your kids like the color teal, man.
You know, they do. That's, speaking of that, you know, I don't think I brought this up last time, but have you ever seen the NFL commercial where they go, we started out a Vikings fan.
Yes, and then we picked up Roethlisberger somewhere along the way.
I want to, like, punch that lady. Like, I feel violence. I don't know why the NFL thinks that's a good idea. If my kids ever go anywhere and start rooting for Ben Roethlisberger, we're done.
But that's the thing. They are pitching it to that fringe group out there. You know, the hardcore fans, you almost don't need to market to that group,
that's
right?
Probably true.
You can't take them for granted, okay? Because ultimately, you're going to push those people away if you take them for granted. At least some of them will. But those are the ones you have hooked, right? Radio consultants tell you all the time, you don't have to talk about sports all the time. Those people are always going to be there for you. The ones that want that, you know, broaden out with a little bit of a slice of life and let them get to know you a little bit and all that kind of stuff. Because, quite frankly, you know, if you had 100,000 people like you, you'd have that waiting list for season tickets and all that stuff
there
that comes with
so
it.
So many fights in the stadium.
That'd be fantastic.
I have no idea.
Because I'd be safely ensconced here in the radio studio with JP Shadrick to protect me.
It would be like Braveheart. It would be so bad. A bunch of fat guys.
He says with a giant smile on his face right now. Well, the reason I did get my season tickets in the mail yesterday.
Yeah.
And, you know, if I were more of a Duval Doom mind frame, a mindset, I suppose I would know all about the Teal Christmas and that I would have been tweeting out. See, I always think if I tweet out a picture of my tickets, someone's going to show up at that seat and want to whip my butt because I know I piss a lot of people off. All right. Of course, I wouldn't be sitting there.
No, it would be your wife or Colin or somebody,
exactly.
Right?
It would be somebody that I gave the tickets to getting harassed on my account.
Dempsey!
Section
no.
213, all right? Section 213, that's as close
that
as I'm going to get you.
You're not that far.
We're neighbors.
I'm in 217.
We're fam, as the story goes.
Oh, speaking of tickets, you know what was cool? The Bold City Brigade section. Did you hear about their tickets this year?
Do tell.
They have standing encouraged printed on the ticket so that if anybody gives them a hard time about standing up the whole
they're
game,
they're just going to flip
right
that ticket right at them.
Yep.
Right. And maybe they'll tape that to the one of their digits and show them and have that at the ready.
Some of them might.
I've never had a problem with standing, honestly, as long as it's not, you know, if you're getting beat 52-0 and some drunk is standing up in front of you, you know, threatening to vomit all over the place, that's one story. If the game's halfway exciting and you want to stand the whole game, so be it. You paid, you're a fan, go and look, I get it, the guy behind you wants to be able to see as well, but that's a sporting event. You know where right. You can see, you could formerly see on your television or now, thanks to Shad, you can go see,
exactly.
You've got your own television right there.
That it was so funny. I think I was about two games into the season last year and, somebody made a play on special teams and none of us in my little section, my little group knew who he was. And we were all stressed to try and figure out and get our apps up and figure out who that guy was that had just made the play. And then my daughter tapped me on the shoulder and she's like, Dad, it's right there on the scoreboard. Because we weren't
it's right there.
We weren't used to the old scoreboard
just
giving
look.
Us any information.
It is pretty amazing
what they've
done with the game day experience. We'll talk a lot of Jags today. We will go off topic, as they say, and we'll appeal to that fringe group out there a little bit and probably tick a lot of them off. But everybody can weigh in on this subject. This is a subject that everybody is an expert on because it's their own opinion. And today, the Friday Top 5 is brought to you by the Tom Bush family of dealerships, and I'll get that posted on Twitter here momentarily. You can, of course, tweet us at MD_1010XL. You're Duval_Doom? Is that what you're
Duval_Doom.
Duval_Doom. Don't make him feel left out. Tweeted him as well as 1010XL Tyler. But today, Friday Top 5 is your top 5 most overrated movies of all time. Basically, the ones that other people love that you just scratch your head and think, what is the big deal? I can't figure out. what's going on with that. Well, that's kind of the nature of that list, right? Everyone's going to have their favorites, and someone's going to mention that as being overrated. Who cares, honestly, if I don't like what you like, or you don't like what I like? I'm going to like what I like anyway. But it is interesting when you see some movies that are so universally highly regarded that you're just like, oh my gosh, really? I just don't get it.
I actually had too many. Like, I had to par my list down. There were a few that I cut off the list.
We'll have an honorable mention category.
Right.
We'll run through those a little bit later on today. You think that's going to tick off the listeners today? Where do we get to some of the studies that some groups, I think Emory University did a study on bandwagon fans in the National Football League. I'll say this, Jaguar fans, you don't have the most bandwagon group of fans in the National Football League, but where do you rank according to the good people at Emory University? I call them good people now until we reveal the results.
Eggheads.
And then there were some fan equity studies and social media equity studies. We'll explain what those were, but they're kind of measures of all the NFL fan base's activities, both in willingness to spend on their team, how active they are on social media, all those things. So we'll get into that coming up a little bit later on as well. We'll get into the latest with Russell Wilson, who wants to be paid like he's a free agent, even though he isn't a free agent. And we've got your favorite segment coming up later, the State in Football
History. The State in Football History. Woo!
You just came to be here in person to hear me read off some birthdays today.
I'm telling you, I get annoyed when I miss it.
I know you do. You tell me that. You're the one.
Get annoyed.
You're the one that we keep doing it for out there, Duval Doom. So Doom is in the house, ladies and gentlemen. You're all jealous because you're all saying, wait a minute, how come he's here again and I haven't been there?
Well, say that to me.
He's worked that relationship he's done.
I have.
He's been to the Twitter wasteland. I've banned him and brought him back.
I got blocked.
He got blocked. He got blocked. He's the only one who's made it back from the blocked list. So there you have it, Duval Doom in the house. If you want to get on board with us again, 641-1010 is the phone line, and it also doubles as the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line. Share with us your thoughts today, your most overrated movie. If you have a quick top five, you can rip them off as well. We don't need a complete breakdown from Siskel and Ebert on each one, but if you want to share your thoughts on your what you feel is the most overrated movie, the one that you scratch your head and think, I can't understand what all the fuss is about, share your thoughts with us on that today. Claude Nolan Cadillac brings you the show every Friday live at Everbank with Duval Doom. I'm Mike Dempsey. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
The official station of the Jaguars fans, 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Bad blood. Oh, Tyler's got it.
He's so proud of himself, man. I have a feeling he might have musical themes all day long. Right up your alley.
Oh, Taylor's the best. She needs to come back to Spotify, though, if you're listening, Taylor.
Dude, you're making me feel old now. Spotify, this-a-fi. Although I did hear David Lamb. What did David Lamb say, Tyler, yesterday? Was it you and I were talking about it? How everybody is looking at stuff on their iPods these days. Something along those lines.
That sounds like him.
I just leave technology alone for the most part. Here's what I got. This technology for me, by the way. My OtterBox that protects my phone. That's the extent of my technology. I've now dropped it enough times that I feel like I really have gotten my money's worth.
Because
it's absolutely just falling apart now. But I've got a pristine phone in the middle.
Well, that's what they're supposed to do.
I know. It worked well.
Good job.
OtterBox, nice job by you. I mean, I don't know what the shelf life is supposed to be, but I think I've had it for over 2 years.
That is pretty good, because my son runs through one about once every 8 months.
Really?
He'll tell me, oh, my OtterBox is tore up, and I'm like, it's an OtterBox. It can't be tore up. And then he brings it to me, and it is tore up.
Right away, we get a shot across Tony's bow, which I love this, right out of the gates
absolutely.
Right here. Okay? We ask you today, the Tom Bush Family Dealerships Friday Top 5, your top 5 most overrated movies. You can just share your top overrated movie if you choose to. Josh, I can't even tell what that's supposed to be. The Reburge, I don't know what that's supposed to be, his Twitter handle. But he went with Mad Max Fury Road, which Tony has probably by now seen in double-digit times.
Right.
It was 8, I think, the last I talked to him.
I love that movie. It's a good movie, but I've only seen it one time.
I saw it one time, and I was like, okay, I'm good. I didn't feel like I was missing out anything cinematically by not going back and back and back and back.
No, I don't think it was the masterpiece that Tony thinks it is. So one of two things happen. You and I don't have a fine enough developed appreciation of cinema.
Quite possible.
Or Tony is just obsessed with a movie, and I don't
he's a little too wonky, a little too nerdy with the movie stuff sometimes.
Oh, he's gonna get
says the guy who makes half of his living on fantasy football. All right,
that's fine.
That Tony's a little too nerdy. Trust me, we're the geek section of the lunchroom. It's fine.
Oh, absolutely.
And I embrace that though. I'm comfortable in my geek like skin at this point in time. You know, I was bringing up your kid needs to like the color teal because you were telling me about the teal Christmas. Which again, you know, you tweet out the picture of your season tickets, right?
I meant to say this to a couple of people yesterday. Maybe I've done this in the past. Maybe don't put the barcode on the picture. Maybe block the barcode out or use your little edit button to make it not readable.
Yeah, Mr. Robot's out there watching you.
Exactly.
He can manipulate those things. But it's just basically a celebration. Like tickets have arrived. Did you hear Balls Davis this morning? By the way.
I did.
Breathlessly asking, did anybody else get their teal deals in there?
Right.
It's like, did you buy it for the tickets or the coupons?
They specifically say that the teal deals are going to come later. They got to go to the printer. They take a little longer. But at my house for teal Christmas, we make a little bit bigger deal out of it. My kids don't know this, but I can almost 1,000% guarantee you they are not listening to their dad on the radio right now, so it's fine. Yeah, no. At my house, we actually have teal Christmas. So the kids don't know that the tickets have come yet, and I've been buying them new Jaguars gear all off season. So when we go home tonight...
You told me, I'm not going to blow your spot up here with the total price tag, but it's quite significant, the investment.
It is. And so I've got...
Shod bless.
A lot. Shod bless, yeah. I did get a new job this year, so... So basically tonight, actually, after we get done here, I have to go to a party store because I can't find teal wrapping paper and black ribbons, which is what I need. And then I'm going to wrap up their presents and we're going to have teal Christmas tonight.
That's outstanding.
It is.
It is outstanding.
We have fun.
As your kids are how old?
16 and 12.
16 and 12. Man, you still have to buy stuff at 16, huh?
I don't have to, but with these particular children,
these particular ones.
Here's the
current set.
It's really my son. I love him, and I really hope he's not listening because he'll get mad at me for talking about him on the radio. But you know, he was born in January of 1999, and so he's never known a good Jaguars team really, except for David's good shining year where we went to the and he was kind of
young. That was the Aaron Glenn year, as I now refer to it, based on the fact that it was his birthday yesterday.
Correct, and so. It's tough for him to be a Jags fan. He goes to a high school, Camden County High School, shout out, that is very good at football. He plays football for that team and has played football since he was about 8. And they don't lose much up there. So it's hard for him to come here. And so I don't know that he would own much Jaguars gear right now.
Suck it up, kid.
Right, if I didn't buy it.
Life's tough, all right?
He does okay.
Develop some character.
I think the low point, the only time that I ever turned and looked at him and legitimately felt bad was after we blocked the punt for the safety against the Chiefs and then proceeded to get our brains bashed in.
But it was such a great start to the season.
Oh, we were fantastically happy.
Up 2-0, and we're never going to allow a point the rest of the way.
Right, and I looked over at him about an hour later, and he looked at me like, why did you make me a fan of this
Why
team?
Did you make me, Father?
Right.
Why am I a sentient being?
Oh, he likes to give me a hard time because I tell him all the time, son, they were so good before you came. Like, it's your fault that they got bad. And he just shakes his head and goes, no, they weren't. I'm like, yeah, they really were. They were great. And then you got here, and now they're terrible.
All right. We will talk about how you expect them to improve. What's the last – what month was it when you came in?
It was cold.
So it was pre-draft.
It was definitely pre-draft. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely pre-draft. It was probably February.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was cold. It was cold that day. I was wearing jeans, and, you know, I'm a big guy, so – it had to be. I remember being in the
parking lot.
Yeah, it
probably took a while.
It was cold.
Put that whole ensemble together.
It was a beautiful ensemble. Gus complimented me on it in the hallway.
Well, Gus is that kind of guy.
No, it was special.
It was a moment. It was unique to you. Understood. Yeah.
He told me the candle story.
He did tell you
the candle story,
the cardboard box, and was there a string or some butterflies?
Tax.
I don't know. Tax. That's right. Tax. There are all kinds of things mixed into there. All right. Still waiting for the general to pop by.
I know. Where are you, Dave?
He'll be around. You wait. If he's in the building, he'll be by this little corner of heaven.
He heard me on the radio, and now he's not.
Well, he may be over talking to the folks with the tax lawyer bowl on the other side of the building. Study conducted by Emory University.
These guys.
What are they thinking? These guys, and they wanted to come up with a measure of which fan bases were the most loyal, which ones were the bandwagoners out there. It's a common insult. Everyone likes to throw that around there. When I think of the Jaguar fan base, the last thing I think of is bandwagoning. Certainly any present incarnation, based on the fact that it's not easy. There are not a lot of seats on that 9-win-in-3-year bandwagon.
No, there aren't. And as we get into this ranking, I think you and I talked a little bit and we understand why it's where it is. But I think they may have made a mistake, and I have to cough now.
There he goes, radio veteran. The most bandwagon team fans in the National Football League, according to the study by Emory University, fans that are most responsive to winning percentage in the NFL based on their statistical model of attendance. In other words, when they're winning, they're showing up. When they're not winning, they're not showing up. That's basically what this boils down to. The Cardinals, the worst team for bandwagon fans in the National Football League.
And, you know, it's funny that they say that because I don't spend a lot of time thinking about the Arizona Cardinals.
Who does?
Because they're in
Neither
Arizona.
Neither do their fans.
Right.
And that's probably why they're
but
on
I
this
do
list.
But I do have a friend who lives in Arizona on Twitter, Carly.
What's up, Carly?
And she is a Coyotes fan for the hockey.
Yeah, Phoenix Coyotes. I've heard of them.
Right. And so I wonder what she would think about this rating, because I can see how if they stunk, maybe there wouldn't be. Like, I don't know any hardcore Cardinal. I know a hardcore fan from almost every fan base in the NFL, but I don't know any hardcore
I actually Cardinal. Did know a hardcore Cardinal fan back in the day. Well, I used to work when I was in college. I used to work at a gas station in St. Augustine, right next to Ripley's. You can
nice.
Picture it now, right?
Nice. I always forget you went to Flagler. We've
yes.
had that conversation.
So yeah. I worked there, and this guy would come in. He was a big Cardinal fan, and I want to say he always would buy a tall boy. I used to know, like, all the customers. You know, I see him pull in, turn around, get the pack of smokes, get out a little brown bag for that Bud tall boy that they're going to buy for a dollar. And, I mean, every day it was the same people.
You know, what's funny you say that. My wife goes to a gas station specifically because they know her and they know what she's coming
see?
In there for.
They should have given me a much higher salary back in the day for all that return business I was bringing up. But he was a Cardinal fan, and the only great thing I had about that was when the Jets went 1-15, they beat the Cardinals. That was the one they beat. So no matter how bad it got, unless you win the Super Bowl, buddy, I don't care what you say.
Well, that's how it is with us for the 9 wins in 3 years. My favorite fan base to get on Twitter and make fun of is the Browns.
Yes.
Because we've beaten them every time we've played
right.
them in the terrible years.
Right.
It's fantastic.
The Browns surprisingly came in 10th on the bandwagon fan list.
Yeah.
I say surprisingly to me because you see, you know, they're just admired for the passion of the dog pound and all that,
right.
you know, and I'm sure they've got, maybe they have a very vocal minority, you know.
Well, they're
I mean?
The only team that I know of, I mean, unless there's some history I don't know, that, I mean, they're the only fan base that, you know, got their team taken away and raised
and got
such
it back.
A ruckus, they got it back.
And got it back as the same team.
Exactly.
The same
they
franchise.
They didn't get to take any of the,
right.
you know, which is actually one of my favorite things to tweet at Cardinals fans is a picture of, I mean, Browns fans is a picture of Modell holding the Lombardi Trophy.
Nice.
Yeah.
I'm sure it is.
That's great.
Cardinals, the biggest bandwagon fans in the National Football League, according to this Emory University study. The Saints are next, right?
I was a member of the Saints fans before, you know, the Jags existed. That was my team.
Well, you see, and you jumped off the bandwagon.
I did, because they were terrible.
You leapt off right there. and had it not been for Hurricane Katrina, honestly, they may be the San Antonio Saints or the San Antonio Gunslingers or whatever they would be at this point in time. And Tom Benson was ready to pack up the moving trucks and head west.
Would Uncle Chaps be a fan? Would you be a fan of the San Antonio team?
That would be his 1B.
That would be like his NFC team?
That'd be his 2. I don't think he wouldn't even rise to the level of a 1B. I think that would be insulting to his his Jaguar fandom San Antonio. The Bills came in third.
Which is really weird because Bills Mafia is, that's a hardcore fan base. I've said nice things to Bills Mafia and gotten a big fat, you know what?
Middle finger.
Yeah.
A verbal middle finger.
Like, I've said nice things. Like, when there was talk that Bon Jovi was going to buy the team and they were worried about him moving and what, like, I tried to be nice and say, hey, I don't want anybody to lose their team. And
better you than us.
I got a, it didn't even go that way. And I still got a, you're a Jaguars fan? Get away from us.
Well, look, here in North Florida, we say when the Jags aren't winning, there's so many other things to do, right? There's the beach, there's golf, it's just a nice area to live, right? Up in Buffalo, it's the opposite, but it probably has the same effect. There may not be anything to do, but here's what you don't do. You don't have to sit out there in 13-degree weather and freeze your butt off in December when the team is really bad. So
no.
That probably plays a factor into it. The Raiders come in at number 4. All these gang members not as loyal as you'd expect them to be, I guess.
That's really weird. I mean, blood in, blood out. You would think.
Right? look, I have no doubt the guy that wears the plastic spikes and all that stuff, he's loyal, but there are only so many of them.
I didn't think I was going to get my daughter back to a game after the Raiders fans came here. They weren't rude.
She was extremely violent.
She was only 6. They scared her.
Oh, just like, with the get-ups?
What are these people? Get them away from me.
Yes. Redskin fans coming in at number 5 on the bandwagon scale. And remember, I want to say FedEx Field seats like 92,000 or something
like
that,
right? Well, they've taken 14,000 seats out in the last 5 years.
Exactly. So. Rather than tarp them, they just remove them entirely.
Right, but nobody talks about that.
No, of course not. And so Redskins fans coming in number 5 on the list. The Rams were number 6. And obviously, if they were robust and thriving out there, there wouldn't have been all this talk about them moving to Los Angeles, which now seems like it's funny to watch the cities now trip over themselves. San Diego, the city does an impact study of some kind, environmental impact, and the Chargers are like, bah! We don't buy it. Those things take years. We're not going to pay any attention to something that happened in the last month. The Raider fans, the NFL, I think it was at the owners' meetings, gave an update on how the different franchises are working with their cities to try to see if they can stay put.
Right.
They didn't even give you an update on the Raiders because they said they're not trying, basically.
Well, here's the thing about the Raiders, and I think I thought this from the last time, and I was, we didn't have the internet when the Raiders moved to Los Angeles last time, but I didn't ever get the impression that they lost that many fans. Like, I felt that, that fan base just kind of said, okay, well, I'm still going to root. Like, not that I believe this is ever going to happen, but if the Jaguars left, I can tell you right now, Mike, I'm not a Jaguars fan anymore. I'm a whoever's playing against the Jaguars fan at that point. But I never got the feeling that the Raiders fans cared if they were in L.A. or Oakland. Only person who seemed to care last time was John Madden, who refused to call them the L.A. Raiders. But
quite frankly, man, I mean, there is... I kind of made a joke about the gang affiliation, but we know that a lot of gangs adopted those colors and the actual clothes that signified Raider clothes. The silver and black is an intimidating combination. It's a tough looking color scheme.
Autumn wind is a tough thing.
The autumn wind is a pirate. For as far as that goes, I don't know if they even really care all that much about the team at all to begin with. Maybe, and it's like a lot of people, when they're winning and you've got the gear, you're going to be out in front, and I guess that's what makes you a bandwagon fan. But here's where the list goes off the rails.
This is ridiculous.
Okay, the top 6, the 6 worst bandwagon teams, the Cardinals, Saints, Bills, Raiders, Redskins, Rams, okay? Number 7, the Jacksonville Jaguars.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
You would think it's almost the complete opposite. And I get what they're saying. They're saying that you go back, I'm assuming they're saying you go back in history and you look at the attendance figures when this team was winning and everything was new and they were busting at the seams, getting them through the turnstiles.
Right.
And it's not the same in that regard anymore. But,
it's 12 years.
Let's go see the Patriots go win 9 games in the last 3 years and let's see how many people are showing up to watch Jimmy Garoppolo.
We saw that. And they had no fans coming to their games. They were talking about moving the Patriots back then.
Now, this only gives you a top 10 on this list, at least as far as I'm seeing right here.
Right.
But the Bengals, Chargers, and Browns round out. And I can see the Chargers. The Chargers,
absolutely.
They have had issues with attendance, even when they've been good.
Right. That's one of the things that when we were dealing with the LA Jaguar stories all the time, as a fan base would really anger us because you would see the Chargers blackout after blackout after blackout and nobody said a word about it. And their team was good. Their team was contending during those years. Their team came here and put 42 points on us or some stupid number that year.
Right.
And we went out there and the same thing happened. You know, I mean, I can't understand any fan base that wouldn't go when you have a fantastic quarterback like Phillip Rivers. You've got a chance to win every game.
We are brought to you every Friday by Caudill and Cadillac Jaguars today here on 1010XL. Coming up in a few minutes, I'll give you a chance to score a four-pack of tickets to go see the Armada in action against the New York Cosmos tomorrow at 7:30 over at Community First Park. So listen up for your chance to score tickets. That's 641-1010, the number if you'd like to get on board. Today, seeking your contributions to the most overrated movies of all time list. You can tweet us your top five. You can call or text on the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line at 641-1010, or you could just throw one random movie out there. You don't have to make an entire top five list if you choose not to. Brandon Muchmore said Caddyshack 2.
I don't remember Caddyshack 2 being rated.
Need to be rated highly, I think, to be overrated, but nevertheless, maybe he feels like any mention of Caddyshack 2 is too much. And
it is.
It's a personal preference list, and so we'll let that one slide. All right, with Duval Doom, I'm Mike Dempsey. It's Jaguars today, live at EverBank on a Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday here on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Thanks, man.
Duval Doom in the house
with Jacksonville radio legend Mike Dempsey.
Simmer down. We'll get to that, okay? It's accurate. You're giving an accurate representation, but we will get to that coming up on a Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday here. Hey, Claude Nolan Cadillac, where every customer sees the Claude Nolan Edge. Simple. No dealer fees. No finance markup. They're going to save you thousands. Get the Edge. Save time and money. Start driving your Claude Nolan Cadillac today. You can begin your lasting relationship by logging on to ClaudeNolan.com or visit them at 4700 Southside Boulevard. Call 642-5111 for Claude Nolan Cadillac. Mention Mike Dempsey sent you. They are going to take great care of you. They've got some great deals on some leases we'll tell you about a little bit later on in the show. But stop by Claude Nolan Cadillac, 4700 Southside Boulevard, our Friday sponsor. I think I just said Boulevard.
You did, but that's okay. I don't need a number, but whatever we're paying Tyler needs more money.
Yes.
We are paying Tyler. Are you paying Tyler anything?
I buy season tickets. Somehow it's a
failure. Oh, is that something? Is it all,
indirectly.
Somehow that money gets to you somehow.
Trickle-down economics
right,
for Duval
right.
Doom.
Something,
here we go.
I mean, something's happening.
I once bought a T-shirt. Therefore, Tyler is being subsidized. You're appreciative of the musical selection.
Oh,
today.
That's fantastic. Good job, Tyler.
All right. You're all about the Taylor Swift. And she was born in 1989. That's all I know about her because I keep seeing her on my on-demand every time I go to that page. They have more details about the 1989 tour, something like that. I'm sure you knew all about it.
My wife and daughter went to see
it. I'm not breaking any news to you, am I?
No, you're not.
All right, he is Duval Doom, and he's with me here in studio, 641-1010, if you'd like to get on board. We've got SI started a list of the 100 most influential people in the NFL.
Yes, they did.
And a few weeks ago, they had made it through the first 20 on the 100, and we had mentioned that Blake Bortles is number 99.
Exactly.
And Shad Khan, Shad Bless, is number 84 on the list.
That's right.
Right there in the same range as the guy who created FanDuel. I'm a big fan of his as
right.
well.
Right, which shout out to Blake. I hope he wins the tournament today.
What about Blake and the pairing out
in
Tahoe? I loved hearing Dan Hickey today talk about how he did a remote with him yesterday, connected with him, and he said basically – he told him, you know, Scobie thinks he can win this thing, and Blake's response was, Scobie's full of crap.
Okay? I love Blake, but Blake's wrong. Scobie's going to win.
He's not going to win.
He's
but he could contend if he plays his best golf. It'd just be nice to see him get a little love on the weekend on TV.
Yes, I told you. I'm going to watch it if they're on there.
11 NFL players participating, and two of them are from the Jacksonville Jaguars.
You're going to tell them who Blake's paired with?
Well, I was getting around to that as he's going to turn to... to his playing partner, he's going to say, I'm kind of between clubs here. I'm not sure what to hit. At which point, J.R. Smith is going to look at him and say, you trying to get the pipe? Or what are you trying to do? And by that, he means the 7-iron.
Right. No,
you pipe a 7-iron, dude.
Right.
That's what he's talking about.
Some sort of, the one that has the Jackson club head on it.
Of course.
You know Blake's playing with
right.
it.
Right. J.R. Smith, the kookball lunatic who played with the Cleveland Cavaliers and LeBron James in the NBA Finals, was with the Knicks, got in trouble for untying guys' shoes at the free throw line.
Right.
Didn't get in trouble. They, you know, he did pose that question about the pipe to one of the fans out there, and it became quite the T-shirt sensation.
It did.
For Knick fans out there. We don't have much going for us. Although Forbes still values, this is just goes to show, I was looking at a list last night to see if the Jags showed up on it. 50 most valuable franchises in sports.
Yeah, we all got excited, but we're not on there.
They're not on the list, right? Because a lot of international soccer teams are on there. Obviously, we're talking about all baseball, basketball. It's just amazing. It doesn't matter how good you are if you play in a big market. The Knicks were one of the top 10 most valuable franchises in sports, and they're a hot garbage dump is what they are.
Much like the city. I mean, I'm just saying.
I hope everyone's enjoying Duval Dunes' final appearance on Jaguars today.
Oh,
you settle down there, sir.
I mean, biggest comeback in Jaguars history was against a team from that city.
May have been. Yeah. I understand that. That's Tony's issue to deal with.
I tweeted that picture, that score to him at least 50 times.
That's awesome. See, I like that. See, well, you should do that. That's like five for every time he's gone to see Mad Max Fury Road.
Right, right.
And that makes sense. Next time he brings it up, I want five more tweets.
Sure.
At
Tony.
Absolutely.
Something that will... Did I tell you about my son during that game and the grown-up yelling at him?
Tell it again if
well,
you have.
Grown-up Giants fan was talking a lot of crap.
Oh, yeah, you
and
did.
And my son talked crap back, and it was one of my proudest moments as a father when he...
I've schooled you well,
yeah,
my
I
boy.
I was so proud. I told you.
Yeah. You did tell me about that story.
So.
It's been a while. Let's get a phone call or two in.
Absolutely.
And then let's get to some thoughts of yours. I want to, since we haven't talked to you since the draft, we'll get some draft thoughts from you. Danny Willett, your leader at the British Open, now gave one back. He's 9-under par, 2 clear of the field. Mark Warren at 7-under and Dustin Johnson. Zach Johnson had gotten up to, I think, 8-under and now back at 6. Adam Scott's at 6-under. Robert Streb. Yet the tee offer just finished his first hole today, is at 6-under par. Retief Goosen and Paul Lowry, along with Jason Day, all at that number. A number of those guys yet to go off. 3-hour delay in starting today over in Scotland, and so they're going to have to finish up round two sometime tomorrow morning. Wind's already blowing pretty good. It's supposed to howl this afternoon.
I was just watching those guys walk through in their sweaters and thinking how nice it would be to need a sweater today.
Yeah.
We don't need any sweaters.
Not sweater weather, that's for sure. Let's get to Ron, I believe, is first up today on Jaguars today. 641.
What's up, Ron?
The number. Hi, Ron.
Hey, how you doing, dude?
Good.
I'm good. Mike's here, too.
All right.
Sorry, Mike. That's all right, Ron. I understand who the star of the show is when he's here. Don't be sorry.
That wasn't a dig at you. That was a dig at Mike.
That was one of those deals where Ron said, "What's up, Doom?" And I said, you know, like good or whatever. It's like when people say to you,
"How you doing?
How you doing?" And you say,
"Good morning."
Not much or something like that. Like, you know, what's up? Good. You know?
Yeah, yes. I do that at work all the time.
It's just like an automated response.
Every time
response,
somebody
Ron.
Says something.
Ron, what can we do for you?
Actually, I wanted to chime in on the question of the day, and I had a question for you guys. My excellent question, to chime in on the question of the day, my two most overrated movies of recent memory have one been Mad Max Fury Road. I'm sorry for that, dude.
No, it's not me, man. It's Tony. I thought it was an okay
movie. You're probably going to be mad about that. I really don't care.
He'll be all right.
Yeah. And two was Lego Movie. Like, everything is awesome except for that movie. That movie was...
you know what? You're not wrong, man. I remember I didn't see the Lego Movie for like a year. I finally saw it when it came on Stars or something, and I was so excited to see it. I remember sitting there going, this is dumb.
Oh, Lego Movie was not bad. How long has it been out? Like 3 years, something
it's
like that?
It's been a while,
so when
yeah.
it came out, my son was like 8.
Yeah,
so,
I'm sure he loved it. My daughter was real big into it.
Are you kidding me, man? I've spent more on Legos than you did on Teal Christmas this year. Okay?
Probably. Your Legos are not cheap, man.
They are not cheap, brother, and they keep making them,
right.
unfortunately.
Right.
You can't collect the whole set because it's never ending. All right, Ron, what's your question for us?
My question for you guys is, I see this team with a 6-10 record, at least with the talent that they have on this team. Do you guys personally think, Doom, you being like an extremely big fan, and more in tune with the fanatical fan base than I may be, do you think that'll be enough to keep this coaching staff and this regime together if we do actually go 6-10 this year? 7-9 is possible, but 6-10 is what I
think. We got it. We got you. Hey, Ron, thank you for the call. Appreciate it, man. All right, 6-10.
I think at 6-10 we're fine.
I do too.
Nobody's going anywhere, and I think 6-10 is a realistic.
I think 6-10 is realistic. I think 7-9 is within reach. I don't think you should sit here and limit yourself with the additions that they've made to this football team this year. You know, the offensive line to me is the most critical aspect of the external improvement. The internal improvement of Blake Bortles is the most critical aspect, but he was here last year. Is Parnell really going to be as good as they think he's going to be? Pete Prisco was raving about him yesterday watching his film. They have said that really they were watching film on DeMarco Murray, and every time they watch that film, they're like, wow, he is just absolutely bulldozing people out there. And, you know, as part of the process of free agency that really helped solidify him on the Jaguars' radar,
right.
You know, Wisniewski coming in, A.J. Cann, even if he doesn't win the job, to push Beatles.
Somebody's going to get hurt at some point during the year, too, and having that kind of depth is not going to...
Right, now you got Austin Pastor as a swing guy. You've got some of these other guys.
I really do.
You're going to have Belanco. You're going to have, you know, some combination of these guys that have played football in the NFL. And Luke Joku's got to get a lot better.
I don't know if I told you this, but Luke Belanco is my best friend.
Is he?
Yeah.
Elbow.
That's what I call him.
Yeah,
we're
best that's what
friends.
Everybody calls
him. He tweeted to me after I said we were best friends on Twitter. He said, what's up, Johnny?
See?
And we're best friends now.
Now, Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. And now, this date in football history.
All right, this date in football history. Duval Doom's favorite.
It's the best segment of the show.
That's interesting. I don't know what to make of that. But it's brought to you this week by Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing. Bob certainly thinks it's the best segment of the show. Birthdays, because there ain't a hell of a lot going on of actual significance in the middle of July.
Right.
July 17th, 1941, the Mad Bomber, Daryl LaMonica, was born on this date. Oakland Raiders quarterback and the AFL's leading passer in 1967. Five-time Pro Bowler, two-time first-team All-Pro. Interestingly enough, at least to me, drafted by the Green Bay Packers in the 12th round of the 1963 NFL draft. Keeping in mind that drafts used to be significantly...
17.
Where did Keenan McCardle get drafted? Something like the 12th round,
13th
right?
or 12th. Well,
right,
yeah,
really late when the draft went deep. But at the same time, drafted in the AFL by the Buffalo Bills, in the 24th round of that year, opted to go with Buffalo for 4 years, probably because of the presence of a guy like Bart Starr, I'm guessing, in Green Bay. And so he went for the playing time, played 4 years at Buffalo the rest of his career with the Oakland Raiders. Born in this state in 1960. You were talking about the Bills Mafia. Not a good memory for the Bills Mafia. Scott Norwood, happy birthday, 55 years old today. NFL kicker, a one-time Pro Bowler, and a first-team All-Pro that year as well. Don't know if you realize this, Scott Norwood was 30 years old when he missed the kick against the New York Giants that would have won the Super Bowl for the Buffalo Bills. Only played one more season in the NFL, and he was out at 31. Don't know if it mentally got to him, although in the next postseason, he was a perfect 5-for-5 on field goals for Buffalo as they went back to the Super Bowl and lost to Washington by, I think, 13 points in that loss. So it didn't seem to affect his performance, but... One more year after the missed kick for the Buffalo Bills, Scott Norwood was out of the league. And because it's Friday, we're not going to be here tomorrow.
No, we're not.
A couple of other birthdays to celebrate tomorrow of Jaguar significance.
Correct.
Co-host of mine here on Jaguars Today, a color commentator on the Jaguar Radio Network, a host on Jaguars Thursday.
Don't forget Sackmaster.
Don't forget noted Sackmaster.
Yeah.
And he's hanging on the wall right behind you there, Jeffrey Logman.
Logs.
Happy birthday, Logs. I know that Osier thinks I'm swooning right now and wondering what I got Logs for his birthday.
I do swoon over Jeff Logman.
I know you do.
Right.
I'm just rumored to swoon over Jeff Logman, but not necessarily the case.
You seem like you're blushing, but I mean, your face is always red.
My face is always red. I don't want to get in between you and your guy. And also, happy birthday to the daddy.
Yeah.
Shad Khan's birthday
tomorrow.
Happy
birthday, dear Shad. Happy birthday. to you.
And adopt me, please. There you go, Shad Khan and Jeff Lagerman sharing a birthday tomorrow.
That is a fantastic guy to share a birthday with both ways.
That's phenomenal.
Both ways.
Yes.
I mean, they get to share each other's birthday.
That's 1 and 1A.
Do you
right
think that
you.
Secretly Lagerman will be on the Kismet tomorrow celebrating his birthday and just not telling anybody?
I think he might already be on there right now. I think
wow.
He's maybe taking Shad to some of his favorite fishing holes. We'll just sneak this thing up into the Intercoastal and see what we can dredge up off the bottom.
Did you see me hit my head on the microphone?
I did see that. By the way, I mean, it's amazing to me, these little things they call lakes on some of the golf courses around
sure,
here. Okay,
sure.
I wouldn't even call it a creek. Okay, where I live in St. Augustine, on the St. Augustine shores, the palatial St. Augustine shores, as I like to refer to it.
Sure.
There is a little kind of like dried out, barely moist mud little thing that you could kind of call a creek between the 12th and 13th holes.
Does Lagerman fish there?
No, but some kids do, and they're like throwing the line in the water, and I'm like, are you really catching fish? And there's no water in this thing. Oh, yeah, we'll catch an occasional bass or whatever. And I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. I would not eat anything that probably collects runoff from my backyard because you don't want to know.
Right.
But I was playing there yesterday afternoon, as a matter of fact, and some kid pulled out a pretty nice fish, not on that hole, but out of another little lake out there. I don't know how do they get in there on these little.
I don't
know,
but you know if there's fish there's gators there.
Oh, trust me. This is the hole, the 11th hole at the shores, where one day, upset with the result of my 6-iron shot, I may have let it fly. It may have landed in the water.
You didn't go after it, did you?
I did. I went. Here's the thing, though. I made a plan. I knew where it was. I got a snorkel, all right? And I went back, and I said, I'm going to go in there. I'm going to find this thing. This is my 6-iron. Right? I got to go get it.
Sure.
So I had a buddy. I said, your whole job is to watch for gators, right? And, you know, start screaming, do something, beat the water, get my attention. Okay, so I go in there, and I go in with shoes because you don't know what's in there.
How
right?
far out was this thing?
It wasn't far out at all.
Okay.
But as I take 2 steps into the lake, it drops off like straight down.
I think I remember you telling
remember
me this story.
Right?
Yeah.
And so I'm in there, and I'm like trying to dive down with the snorkel, and I can't even see the bottom, never mind touch the bottom. And I start to get out, and I'm about knee deep, and I'm just slowly trudging out, you know, pulling my shoes out of the muck. And I turn around, and coming right at me is about an 8-foot gator. And
oh.
I mean, he's right. He's like 25 feet away, and he's coming right for me. And I'm like, you know, look at my buddy like, thanks. You know, what good are you? Nothing.
Was this guy trying to kill you?
I may be, but I hook him up with a lot of golf. So and he doesn't know what he's doing if he's trying to do that. This state in football history brought to you by First Coast Roofing, the only call you need to make for all your roofing needs, residential, commercial, repairs, re-roofs. Call today. Get a free estimate from Bob Roberts, 287-7756, license number CCC056797. That is this date in football history.
Now drive around the NFL.
Well, you guys were just talking about Blake Bortles and Josh Scobie, two of the 11 NFL players participating at the annual American Century Championship golf tournament in Lake Tahoe. Bortles said he played his best round ever yesterday during practice, shot an 80, his best score ever, Bortles told Sam Kavars yesterday. Apparently, Scobie is hitting it over 350 yards regularly with his driver, but Bortles says, I hit it past him a few times when we played together. Even though he's playing golf out at Lake Tahoe, Bortles is still working on his game, he told Kavars. I have Jordan Palmer as my caddy this week. We threw yesterday, we'll throw again today, tomorrow, and also throwing again on Saturday to keep working on this stuff. This morning, Bills head coach Rex Ryan is preparing to jump out of a plane this morning from 12,500 feet up with the U.S. Army Golden Knights parachute team. Rex was asked this morning, what made you want to jump out of a plane? Rex said, I like living. Hey, not really sure if you like living and jumping out of a plane is the best way to prove that. But anyways, finally, a fan tweeted at Brandon Marshall and asked him, what team will you retire with when you end your career, as if he would even know that. But Marshall's response, if I'm cut tomorrow, I'll retire. This will be my last team, talking about the Jets. Marshall may feel like retiring soon because you know his quarterback is Geno Smith.
Easy.
Oh!
Easy. I was going to try to spin that as a positive there. I mean, once you've been washed in the gangrene, anything else is a pale substitute.
Wasn't he the best-rated quarterback in the dumpster fire city last year?
No question. He's clearly the best quarterback in the city of New York. There's no question about
it. Potato Head's little brother?
No.
Yeah, I know. We beat him.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Thank you very much. And Gino now lives with Brandon Marshall. They moved in together. They're bosom buddies.
That would be the best reality
show. It would
be
a good
ever.
Reality show. Wouldn't it? Now, if Rex Ryan were still coaching him, maybe we'd get that.
I
but
can't
we're not.
Say what I thought when he said Rex Ryan was jumping out of an airplane.
Come on. Do tell. They must make some kind of concession for him, because I truly, a few years ago, wanted to go skydiving. So I looked into it, and...
You're too big.
Yes.
And you're not a fat guy. I'm not saying
that.
No,
but yet it was like 225 pounds was
right.
The weight limit to go skydiving. I'm like, amputate my leg
right.
After I go on a diet, and then maybe I can get down there. I don't think I can get down there. I doubt Rex is below that threshold.
Well, I don't think people realize how big you are. Like, your football player size.
Oh,
big.
Huge.
I mean, you're a big guy.
Yes.
And I mean, I realized people sort of see you as this Jacksonville legend. Like, did you
they
see
do.
The? Did you see the guy ask me to get his get your autograph? Yeah,
yes, I did.
I got to get that.
I took that as snark.
I don't think it was, buddy.
I
think he was genuinely wanting your autograph.
I'm going with full snark. We had Spinner Howland in the other day.
Yes, we did.
He was the founder of the Jacksonville Axemen. Listen to Doom. Yes, we did.
I have to be honest with you. Spinner is. I wish Spinner would come in here once a week.
Spinner's a good dude.
He's fantastic
like
to listen
Spinner.
To, and he knows Jaguars football.
Yes,
like. I think some people worry, he's just going to talk about the Axemen and then maybe leave, but Spinner's got insight and stuff to talk about.
No, we talk more NFL than anything. And,
right.
But I have no problem promoting the Axemen. They've been a great, shining light of the sports community here. I mean, they've been fantastic. Two national
yeah.
championships. It's been fantastic. So he came in, and we were talking about Jarryd Hayne, who is one of the most renowned rugby players in the world, trying to make the San Francisco 49ers
top 2% in the world, according to
he said
Spinner.
Top two, I think is
yeah,
what he said.
Yeah, yeah.
One of the
top two
rugby players in the world.
He's older too. I was surprised when I Googled him. Jarryd Payne's not a young guy.
Hayne. Like, Jarryd Hayne.
He's the one on the 49ers.
Yes.
I think he's almost 30.
Yeah, I think he is
he's
too.
Not
but
young.
He's giving it a go. So anyway, Spinner, I guess he said he sent the film of his segment. He wasn't in here filming, to my knowledge, but...
But he had audio.
But I guess it was... I don't know what he did. Maybe he took the audio. Anyway, he sent it over to Australia because we were talking about, international rugby and all these different things and
right.
Hayne. And apparently the segment made the ABC News affiliate in Australia.
Yes, it did.
And it said Spinner Howland... And on their Facebook page, which they had a Facebook page dedicated to this Jarryd Hayne fellow.
Right.
And I will share that later on the Jaguars Today Facebook page. Why wouldn't I? It said, Spinner Howland and Jacksonville radio legend Mike Dempsey discuss. And it didn't matter what we discussed after that point. Once you read the intro, that was all you were there for.
Let's be honest. If we were going to pick Jacksonville radio legends.
David Lamb.
Okay.
Alfie Crow.
All right.
All right. Duval Doom.
Of course.
Warming up. Now.
Obviously.
Warming up.
I was going to go Joe Fortunato.
Well, Fortunato.
Right.
Joey Bag of Donuts.
Right. Joey Bag
what
of Donuts.
What about, seriously, this is, you get a little bit too much of the Regal treatment, okay? I got the Jaguars digital guys coming in.
The digital guys love me.
They do love you.
I love them.
Today's National Emoji Day.
Yes, it
okay?
is.
And the digital guys never come visit me. And Brandon Nate has popped in, and he said, hey, we are the first NFL team that has our own custom Jaguar motif emojis.
You don't understand how excited we are about this.
So he's like, can we have someone come in and
talk
about this
yes.
next week maybe? And I said, I didn't realize you knew that I worked here because I never see you. Oh, but Doom's here. And he comes in and he didn't come to talk to me. He's talking to Doom. And he goes, oh, yeah, we got some emoji thing going.
I got
through.
A fist bump, too.
I know you did. And then Fortunato says, can I get you a drink, Doom? And he has to walk out into the lobby to get you. I've never in a year plus time being here has Joe Fortunato ever offered to do much of anything for me.
Well, stop being a jerk.
That might be it. Could be it. I didn't say it wasn't justified. I'm just saying I'd like a little of that treatment as well. All right, we will come back, and we will go through our top five, Friday top five, most overrated movies. You can still weigh in on yours on Twitter, at MD_1010XL, at Duval_Doom. You can text us on the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar. Text line 641-1010. But right now, you want that number because if you're the fourth caller, at 641-1010. We'll hook you up with a 4-pack of tickets to go see the Jacksonville Armada take on the New York Cosmos tomorrow over at Community First Field at 7:30. So you want those tickets? You know what to do. Call 641-1010. Does that mean Pele and Giorgio Chinalia are coming here? Or is it, or is that the previous incarnation
of the
Cosmos?
You know what I know about Pele from when I was a kid? He was in the Tang commercials in my comics.
Was he?
Yes.
I know, what was the, was it Dingo Boots? What were the boots that O.J. Simpson used to do? It was something like Dingo Brand or something like that. And he was in the comics, too. It was like a, an animated, like a comic strip O.J.
Yes.
Simpson for Dingo Boots.
Yeah, that's the way
Pele
was. He was doing a kick, like a little flip kick into the goal. But it was a Tang container he was kicking into the goal.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Tang.
And Space Age, you know.
Space Age. Space Tang. Age.
All right. 641-1010, fourth caller. Hook you up with that four pack of tickets to go see the Armada play the New York Cosmos. A Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday continues in a moment on Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
I say I'm too late. Got nothing in my brain. That's what people say.
Doing a little chair dancing right now, Duval Doom. There's Johnny, ladies and gentlemen. By the way, Natus. I like Brandon Natus. Don't get it twisted. I don't know if he's actually listening to the radio or just listening to me yell.
Down the hallway?
Because it's quite possible. You say you use the restroom facility, which is, I don't know, around the corner and down the hall a little ways.
Behind the curtain, Mike, behind the curtain.
Said you heard me loud and clear down
yes,
the hall.
Yes, I did.
And we weren't even on the air.
No, you were just talking.
I'm just I just guffawed about something a minute ago on the break, and I thought...
Oh, it was Pele in The Prince of Lies.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, I pulled up the Tang ad, and I was reading it, and somebody had photoshopped the last line as it says, I am the Prince of Lies.
Right. You said, I think that was photoshopped, and I guffawed. I belly laughed, and then I took my headset off and realized, I bet those guys over selling tickets heard me pretty clearly, and they're behind a glass wall.
Yes, they are.
So, yeah. Nevertheless, I found my O.J. Dingo ad as well, if you want to see that. Robert Burkhart, tweeted me he thought it was Acme Dingoes. It might have been, but you could find it. It's out there. You could have just, by the way, sent a letter or I guess a self-addressed stamped envelope to Clarksville, Tennessee. You would have got a free autographed picture of O.J. Simpson.
Right. I just tweeted out the Tang ad and took a picture of it off.
Excellent.
Yeah, but yeah, you could have got an autographed picture of O.J. Simpson, which are hard to get now.
I mean, oh, right.
They're very difficult to
come
by.
Oh, there's a captive audience, man. Apparently, I bet if you... you know, it's like a thing now, I guess, to write to people in prison, and then if they return a letter to you, to put it on eBay. Have you seen that? I mean, seriously, people have been doing this with some of the more notorious crimes that we've seen come down the pipe lately.
So, like, I could write to, like, Manson and get a...
Well, I don't know if Manson would write back to you.
El Chapo?
Probably not.
I would think so. El Chapo. I don't. Maybe they're going to need a forwarding address for him.
Possibly. I was going to do the $10 million thing, and then one of my Twitter friends pointed out he would probably just shoot me at some point.
Oh, what was the $10 million thing? For?
He offered $10 million to any American citizen that would harbor him. That would
really?
Help, yeah, that would hide him. Yeah. But, I mean...
Is he that bad of a guy?
He
probably is pretty bad.
I mean, he's the number one...
Pretty number one drug trafficker in the
in
world.
In the world. Yeah.
He can afford more than $10 million.
I mean, he's more than Pablo Escobar, they said now.
Huh.
Yeah. So.
El Chapo.
Yeah.
All right. We've got our Friday top five, and the top five focuses on the most overrated movies of all time. I'm sure everyone's going to agree with both of our lists because there's nothing in terms of personal preference that factors in here. It's all personal preference.
I'm going to make so many people angry. And it's going
to
be fun.
I'm looking forward to it. And perhaps if you anger me, perhaps I'll block you on Twitter for the second time.
Yeah,
I'll bring you back by the end of the show.
I mean, I can get your phone. It's right there.
It is right there. come try me, baby. All right, let's go. Tyler, let's begin the countdown.
Number five.
Five.
Come on.
Five.
High five.
Number five. All right, number five for me. It's interesting to me, as many tweets as we've gotten in today on this, how many people just have said, such as all of the movies in this series, like Harry Potter 1, Harry Potter 2, these are all, for instance, right?
I got all of Star Wars from some guy.
You know what? Some of Star Wars is overrated.
Sure.
Okay? Star Wars, which you cannot call it A New Hope, all right? That's
no,
just
it's
stupid,
Star Wars.
Right? It's just Star Wars.
Right.
Star Wars and Empire Strikes Back are outstanding.
Empire Strikes Back, okay. Outside of Star Wars, is probably one of the best movies ever made.
Well, Return of the Jedi, it's a goof show, really, with all the little... I mean, it's...
It was, but it gave us the best lightsaber battle of the trilogy.
All right, and the first three are just horse.
I like the first three, but I understand why people don't.
They're pretty bad. But anyway, my kid loves them all. But right. That was not for me, but on my list. But at Jimbo Rad had the same exact number five as I did, which is any Lord of the Rings movie.
Yeah, it's so wrong.
Just don't get it. Honestly, the only book I read in high school that I was assigned to read, I read all the time. I loved reading books. I read books all the time. I wasn't so interested in reading Jane Eyre, however.
Sure.
But I
sure.
did read The Hobbit cover to cover. That was the only book
the
I was assigned.
The Hobbit is a
assigned.
Great book. It's a
I
great
was,
book.
I was good at listening to what the teacher said about the book we were reading. And, you know, if you listen to what they say, that's the stuff that's going to be on the test.
And, sure.
and there you go. So I read The Hobbit. So I'm not opposed to the genre outright, but this, you know, Lord of the Rings trilogy. I mean, it's just I not for me. Whatever. I think they're overrated. And so we'll move on. What is your number five?
I'm starting off with a controversial selection. And I'm not saying this is a bad film, okay? It's not a bad film. But it's not the best Marvel movie of all time either. I'm going to go with Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, I think it is a little overrated. I like the movie.
It's fine, but
so
it's not
one
best.
Of my top ones. My kid thinks it's the best Marvel movie.
Well, and here's the thing, too, and I'm going to show my age a little bit. I know there's younger people that really love it, but those aren't the Guardians. If you read the comics, that's not who was in the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Geek alert. Geek
right.
alert.
The Guardians geek of the alert. Galaxy were Vance Astro, and they were 30,000 years in the future. It wasn't those stupid characters they made up for the movie. Which were fine, but they weren't the Guardians.
Say Vance Astro five
Vance
times.
Vance Astro. Vance Astro. Vance Astro.
It's easy to switch those first two letters
up.
Very easily. All right. So you've got the Guardians of the Galaxy at number five.
Correct.
Outrage ensuing across the city
sure
of Jacksonville.
My phone's about to blow up.
Let's continue the countdown.
1, 2, 3, 4, 2, 3, 4, 4, 4, 4, 4, 4, 4.
Number four.
All right, for number four, this one's going to make some people angry, too, because I know it has a ton of fans out there, but I just think it's a stupid movie, and that is Spaceballs. It's just dumb. It's not a good movie.
I think
movie.
It's dumb, too.
And I don't really like any of that guy's movies. Mel Brooks.
I could have put all comedies on my list very easily.
Yes.
Which maybe you think I don't have a sense of humor. I don't know. I find certain things funny. I don't find other things funny.
Kevin Smith's films are funny except for Chasing Amy.
Some of them are. Right. Chasing Amy was okay.
It's not, you're
Clerks
wrong.
Clerks was outstanding.
Clerks is the greatest.
Yeah, Clerks was...
Well, Mallrats is my personal favorite.
That's
but...
a good one.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with Chasing Amy.
It's terrible.
Stop it. For me, I put on number four a comedy as well. I put The Jerk. I think Steve Martin is just incredibly overrated.
He is.
As a comedian. As a real actor,
he's fantastic.
I think he's actually very good.
Grand Canyon is one of the best movies ever made.
The Spanish Prisoner is the one I tell people. Have you seen that movie?
Yes, I
have. It's like a long con movie.
Yep.
And I can never find, it's one of the few movies I cannot find a good bootleg copy of. Oh. So if you have a link, send it my way.
One. Yeah.
Anyhow, I think he's a great actor.
He is.
His comedy, not my cup
no.
of tea. So
no.
The Jerk, gone. By the way, honorable mention, let me just throw out there to Mad Max Fury Road. I was going to put that on there just for Tony. I don't really think it's one of the five most overrated movies, although in this room, it's the most overrated movie because Tony's got to see it at least 8 times now, probably 10 since he's been off for a week. All right, moving along.
Three. Three. Three.
Easy as 1, 2, 3.
1, 2, 3.
Freak. Three.
Three.
Number three.
I believe it's Fortunato's favorite movie, number three on the list, and it's Blazing Saddles.
It's not good.
It's okay. I mean, it's like you can watch it. I'm not saying it's unwatchable. It's not Howard the Duck.
Howard the Duck's a fine film.
Howard the Duck is terrible, but...
Howard the Duck was the only good part of Guardians of the Galaxy.
I don't think it's the only good part, but it was
it's not.
Pretty funny. It was pretty funny right there at
funny.
The end. But I don't know, man. Maybe it's me. You know what else I was going to put on here? Dumb and Dumber. Everyone thinks that.
I don't like it.
That's like the holy grail of comedy.
I can't think of... I almost... An honorable mention on here was Truman Show, speaking of Jim Carrey.
That's a pretty good movie.
I didn't
like
so.
Truman Show.
I just thought it was a waste. It was really long, and it was kind of boring.
Who rates it so highly?
Got a lot of attention.
Number three for you. What do you got?
For number three, I have a movie that's a lot of Jaguars fans' favorite movie, so it's going to make them mad, but it's Gladiator. It's long, it's boring, there's no point to it, he doesn't win, so, meh.
A lot of Jaguar fans' favorite movie, huh?
I get a lot of the, are you not entertained?
I think Gladiator's okay. I can stand Gladiator. I don't know. Are people saying it's like one of the cinema's finest? I don't know.
At the time, if you remember, it got a lot of positive momentum towards an Academy Award. I don't remember if it won.
I don't think it did.
But it got a push.
Yeah, I was actually going through looking at recent best pictures to see if there's anything that jumped out at me.
Well, Gladiator was 15 years ago, Mike.
No, I mean recent, like the last 25 years,
okay,
put it that
okay.
way. You know, going back, I was looking at the last 2 or 3 years. Thank you very much, wise guy. Moving along.
Number two.
All right, for number two, I have a movie that did win several Academy Awards, and I was so excited to see it, and I didn't see it in the theaters, and then I had it gifted to me, and I've actually given away 2 copies of this movie is how stupid I think this movie is, and that is American Beauty.
Yeah, it's interesting, because that was one that came across, and I'm like, that won Best Picture, and I'm like...
It's terrible. It's boring.
It's not terrible, but it wasn't... It's not one of the best...
No.
Films of the last 20 years.
No, the kid watching the bag and the whole, it's beautiful.
That was kind of beautiful,
oh,
actually.
Oh, Lord.
That was kind of nice when it blew in the breeze like that.
I mean, the only nice part was Mina Suvari.
She was not unattractive in that
movie.
No,
but she was a minor, which makes us creepy.
Yes. But at the time, I was closer to being a minor myself.
Me
when
too.
The movie came out. So, not quite as creepy. Moving along from American Beauty, my number two, people in a certain generation, certainly one of them at this radio station, think the Big Lebowski is something special for some reason.
It's terrible.
It is terrible.
It is one of the worst movies ever made.
It is a horrible movie. I don't get. It's not funny in the least bit. I don't get it. Okay, so the guy calls himself the Dude. Wow, how amazingly creative is that? And he drinks White Russians.
When you talk about the person who that is their favorite movie... I mean,
dirt.
The dirt.
So moving along, there you go. Big Lebowski, number two on my list, which brings us to
5, 4, 3, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1,
so easy for me.
Guys, we don't share our list ahead of time.
We
so
do not.
I
don't know if this is on your list or not. I see something over there with a little star next to it at the very
top. Those are honorable mentions.
Honorable mention, yeah. Big Lebowski.
Yeah,
very nice.
Yeah, yeah.
For me, I actually read yesterday, because I read everything about comic book movies that comes
sure.
out, you know, just to want to keep up with the latest and all that stuff. And I like the genre, but I read that this movie is actually the number four highest rated movie of all time on Rotten Tomatoes, The Dark Knight Rises.
Oh,
which,
wow.
Honest to goodness, if Heath Ledger doesn't die, is that movie going down? To me, and I know people got all over me when I said this, but if Kurt Cobain isn't dead, is Nirvana all of a sudden one of the greatest bands of the last 50 years or whatever?
Maybe.
I don't buy it.
Well, I think you have it changes everything with the Nirvana thing, because you don't get the Foo Fighters if Kurt doesn't die.
We're moving off the Nirvana thing, but for me, the Dark Knight Rises,
I've said many times, it's not even the best film of the trilogy. Batman Begins is the best film.
I agree
film
with
of the
that,
trilogy.
And look, I like it better than any other film on my list.
Sure,
but people act like it's one of the greatest pieces of cinema in the history of film. It's just not.
And here's the thing, and I think he would agree if he was with us still. The Joker is such a fantastic character. I think it makes actors look, not that he wasn't a great actor, but I mean, it's such a great character to dig into and play.
Well, and he took it in a different direction than it had been usually. I mean, if you're a purist, he didn't stay true to form of what the Joker's been like throughout history.
He went a little more modern. He went with a little less clown and a little more psychotic.
Yes, a little.
But he went with the interpretation that the generation that you're talking about that says it's the greatest movie ever, that's their Joker.
Hey.
That's who he's been for a while.
And that's fine. You can like
Jared
it.
Jared Leto's going to be fantastic.
Right? And all of you liking it is what makes it so darn
much
overrated.
Right.
All right, so number one for you.
Well, number one for mine is probably not going to make our listening audience necessarily angry. And it's my wife's favorite film, so that might bias me because of how many times I've been forced to watch it. It's Gone with the Wind. It's dumb. It's a dumb movie. It's boring. And when Atlanta's burning, you can see they're just holding matches behind a paper screen.
Really?
Yeah.
I honestly have never watched Gone with the Wind.
Don't watch it. It's horrible.
I will not.
It's long and stupid and horrible.
I've watched plenty of classic type movies.
I love King Kong. It's one of my favorite films
of all time. The original King Kong.
Yeah.
Fay Wray.
I love it. I love it. I love a lot of movies from
back then. I'm a big Bogart fan. I mean,
absolutely.
Many of my favorite movies are Bogart movies.
Right. She had never seen Casablanca when we started dating.
Oh yeah.
It was one of our first dates. I'm like, well, we're going to watch Casablanca.
Of course. Keeping in mind, it's all personal preference because the guy who loves The Big Lebowski, our good friend Hacker, Tony and I tried to maybe expose him, expose him to some what we felt were classic movies, okay? And so we kind of made homework assignments for him, and we'd tell him to go rent a video, or we'd rent him a video and tell him to watch it and report back the next day. This is where another station. And he watched, I believe it was 20 minutes of The Godfather, and said, this is just stupid.
Oh, I remember this story. That's the worst.
And, you know, from that point on, your judgment is seriously flawed.
If you can't appreciate The Godfather at least once through,
yeah, just watch
for what
it
is.
Right. You don't have to be your favorite movie.
My wife doesn't love it. But when I finally got around to asking her to watch it with me, she admitted it. It was a good movie.
I actually like Godfather 3.
I liked all three of The Godfathers, but... You know, I didn't like the...
Three wasn't as good as the other ones, but it was, you know, you're comparing it to two pictures that won Best Picture.
Right.
It's probably not going to hold up quite as much. All right, there you go, our top five. My five were, going backwards, every Lord of the Rings movie, The Jerk, Blazing Saddles, The Big Lebowski, and The Dark Knight Rises, the most overrated movies. Your five were?
I had Guardians of the Galaxy, Spaceballs, Gladiator, American Beauty, and Gone with the Wind.
Any honorable mentions that you did not mention?
Chariots of Fire. I hate that movie.
See,
it's so stupid.
It's not stupid. Chariots of Fire is an outstanding movie.
It's like 3 hours of running.
It's good.
3 hours of running. Oh, yeah, the music is fantastic. We can listen to music, but, you know, I'd much rather watch, I don't know, an actual race.
It's good. It's a good movie. All right, doesn't have to be your favorite. It's a very good movie. It is an actually, I think Chariots of Fire
are the Lord of the Rings.
It's an outstanding movie. Come on. All right, there you go.
There's a lot of running in Lord of the Rings.
All about personal preference. There are not as many trolls and such and orcs and that in Chariots of Fire. Not quite as many orcs.
I almost made a joke, but I'm not going to because I realize we have British fans now.
And we got a break right now. They wouldn't have understood it anyway.
No, probably
not. Right over the head. So, all right. 641-1010 if you want to squeeze one in the last few minutes. It's called Nolan Cadillac Friday with Duval Doom. I'm Mike Dempsey. We'll be back to wrap up Jaguars today. Coming up in a moment here on 1010XL 92.5 FM. See? That's how you cap off a day of music right there for Duval Doom. I'm picturing you now running on the beach in slow motion.
Are you?
Brother, it ain't pretty. and by the way, I've been misspeaking for the last 15 minutes. The Dark Knight Rises
right,
with Bane.
Right.
The Joker movie that everyone... Just
they knew
genuflex in front of. Well, they may have known what I meant, but easier to say the actual name of the movie. So
I think I actually lost followers.
I may have too, and that's okay. That's called culling the herd.
Sure,
I believe you get rid of the weak out there who can't handle that. Not a fan. Hey, you don't have to be a fan of what I like. I don't have to be a fan of what you like.
You don't. People are allowed
we,
to
we can
have
all just
opinions
bond over our desire for the Jaguars to succeed.
Right.
Can we not do that?
That's what's funny. Like, they'll get mad about that kind of stuff, but, you know, if you're ever going to Jaguars Twitter on a Saturday, none of us are fans of the same college football. We're at each other's throats.
Yes.
But,
you're trying to talk Alabama smack to me yesterday, and you have
Stacey
no affiliation
thing.
With Alabama.
Well, I grew up 30 miles from
there. Yeah, but you're not an Alabama fan, are you?
Yeah, kind of.
15 national titles from Bob's Barbecue.
Well, that's more because you wear your FSU hurt on your sleeve.
I mentioned the other day the fact I thought it was kind of
funny. It's not the first time
you mentioned that some Ohio State fan showed up at SEC Media Day. What do you mean it's not the first time I mentioned it? That's the first time it happened.
I mean your ACC inferiority complex because
there's no inferiority complex.
You know you're playing in a lesser league.
We know what happened when they squared off. Right? Florida State, Auburn, I believe. We saw the results of that. Let me get to some of the results of the Twitter today on the fan feedback brought to you by the Tom Bush family of dealerships. Asking folks today, what is your most overrated movie in your opinion? Or if you wanted to give us your top five, here's some. Tony Brown said Sharknado. most overrated. They're even on Sharknado 3 crazy. I think that's like tongue-in-cheek
it's
overrated.
It's this Wednesday. Well, the thing about Sharknado is it's only fun to watch if you watch it live with your friends on Twitter. Then it's a blast.
Okay, no interest. Moving on, in no particular order, says Jimmy at Willie J 904. Predator, E.T., Mad Max, yeah, I said it, Tony. Silence of the Lambs, what are you kidding? And the Blair Witch Project. Okay.
All right. I mean, I can see where some of those movies would be overrated. I'm a big Blair Witch fan. I liked it a lot.
So. Another vote from Josh for Mad Max Fury Road.
They're just trolling, Tony.
They're really going hard on Tony now. Brandon Muchmore went with Transformers 4. Is that, now, who rates that highly, though? Come on.
I don't know. I mean, it was obvious. It wasn't as good, but as a little kid of the 80s, I did love seeing Grimlock, finally.
Hangover 2 and 3, Jurassic Park 3, and Caddyshack 2. Those are just a bunch of bad sequels, then.
Yeah.
They're not highly rated movies. If you said Jurassic Park were overrated, okay, fine, because a lot of people think that was a great movie.
I do.
I thought it was very good.
It was groundbreaking, too, man. We'd never seen dinosaurs like that before.
Cristiano, our buddy from Brazil, says Harry Potter is 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. Hashtag Jaguars today. Black Dog went with Pulp Fiction. I thought that was a very good movie.
Mike, I had an absurd selection by a caller named Tim. He said Forrest Gump was his most overrated movie.
Well, if you don't love the movie, people act like Forrest Gump. I would not doubt there are lists out there that put Forrest Gump among the 10 best films of all time.
Probably.
Right? Yeah. I mean, that popular. So from that standpoint, again, I'm not saying that Dark Knight, I wouldn't watch that movie. I would watch that movie, and I'd enjoy that movie.
Of course.
But it's not, to me, the holy grail of modern cinema.
As a Batman fan, I really genuinely believe Batman Begins was a better film.
Black Dog, Pulp Fiction, Shutter Island, Inception, and Hugh Douglas sucked. Very nicely
played. Oh, Inception, I'll give him Inception.
I thought Inception was fine.
It's terrible.
Oh, it's not terrible. Jimbo, we already said, had any Lord of the Rings movie, but he went with Scarface, number one, Bull Durham, Slapshot. I think Slapshot is a little overrated.
It is.
And It's a Wonderful Life before that. Mary.
Oh.
Let's see. No Doubt Gone with the Wind. Talk about mind numbing. And let's see. Irish Jag went with Pirates of the Caribbean 1, 2, 3, 4. And he said Pirates of the Caribbean 5 most likely when they make it.
I did think that those movies got some kind of, like, Depp just acts like he's high through the whole movie.
Not acting.
Right.
let's see. Ocho Fisher went with Titanic, The English Patient, Castaway. I like Castaway.
Oh, I can get on board with The English Patient. I wish I had remembered that.
Never
one.
Seen The English Patient.
Don't bother.
Top Gun and Driving Miss Daisy.
Oh, man, I can't believe I forgot about Top Gun. That is the worst.
Oh, it's fine.
Oh, it's terrible.
It's fine. If you grew up in the 80s, you'd like it more. Clarence Austin Jr. What? How old are you?
40.
You're young.
I was born in 1975.
Yeah, but so when Top Gun came out,
I was
you're
11.
Like 9.
11.
11.
Came out in 86.
That's like 9. Clarence went with Mad Max, the whole franchise, Star Wars, the whole franchise, Slumdog Millionaire, The Piano, and The Notebook. Well, that's your problem, Clarence. You watched The Piano
and
The
Notebook.
Yes. let's see. Who else we got here? One more. Demetrius went with Draft Day, Scream, the entire series, Slumdog Millionaire, Remember the Titans, and 300? Demetrius.
I'm gonna tell you, I watched Remember the Titans last night, right before I went to bed, and with the exception of Scream 4, I loved the first three Scream movies. I watched the Scream TV show that's on MTV now.
I don't think I've watched one of them from start to finish.
That's okay.
I'm not like anti that.
If you're
movie.
Not a Wes Craven slasher film fan, I mean, that's what they are. They're Wes Craven slasher flicks.
Here are your top 10 most influential people in the NFL that we'll have no time to discuss.
Go.
Okay. Here we go. 10-1, according to the Monday Morning Quarterback, Rich McKay, because he's the co-chairman of the NFL Competition Committee. Number 9, Peyton Manning. Number 8, Stan Kroenke, because obviously he's got one foot in L.A. right now.
Sure.
Number 7, Aaron Rodgers,
okay.
Two-time MVP. Jerry Jones, number 6.
I can see that.
Russell Wilson, number 5. And I can see that, too, because he's going to test a lot of the boundaries about, you know, system quarterback maybe being paid as the highest-paid guy in the league, things like that. He's in his prime. He's off to statistically one of the best starts in league history. Anyway, Bill Belichick came in at number 4. Chip Kelly came in at number 3, and I can see that too because you roll your eyes, but Chip Kelly is trying to do things, particularly with like the nutrition and the training stuff, thinking outside the box, stuff that hasn't happened in the National Football League, and they were the healthiest team in the league last year.
What was their record?
They won 10 games.
Right.
Two years in a row, they won 10 games.
That'll be his best ever.
All right. Roger Goodell comes in at number two, and Tom Brady is currently number one most influential.
You think Brady influences that much?
I don't know.
I don't.
I mean, it's just, well.
I mean, he wins a lot.
I think we should take all these guys off, Moonshot Khan and Blake Bortles, into the top 10. And
shout out Blake Bortles.
There you go. And your boys here, Andrew Luck came in 12 and JJ Watt was 16.
JJ Watt.
That's for you.
Useless.
You.